For many people, the letters E.T. might signify a Steven Spielberg movie from the 1980s or indeed Entertainment Tonight, but actually for many other folk, it signifies something much more serious and much more problematic in terms of the experience of life and so on, specifically essential tremor. It affects more than 1 million British folk, and awareness of this common condition is actually very low. So to actually talk about some of the factors relating to this, we're delighted to welcome for our first ever Zoomer after many sort of telephonic links, the awesomely talented Dr. Sarah Jarvis. How are you, Sarah?
Oh, I'm very well indeed. What a lovely introduction.
Sarah, you know it's in the contract. We always have to give you a positive introduction right the way through.
Or something.
Exactly. So essential tremor, Sarah. I mean, yes. This is something which clearly it has a massive impact on a large number of people. They feel isolated, they withdraw from society, they're too embarrassed to leave home, etc. Just talk us through what exactly it is.
So normally when people think of essential, they think of something that we need. It's absolutely essential that you do go on a Zoom call at the right time. But actually in medical parlance, essential means we don't exactly know what's causing it, or there is no underlying condition that is causing it. So we know that essential tremor tends to run in families. Between 1 in 2 and 7 in 10 people who have essential tremor have another person, at least one other person in the family, who's affected. But the tremor bit, I think, is fairly self-explanatory, except that it's quite a specific kind of tremor. So the tremor that you get in essential tremor tends to start off in one limb, usually one arm or one hand. Within a year or two, though, it'll often switch, or it'll spread to the other arm, and it can spread to your legs sometimes. About 3 in 10 people have tremor of their head, which can affect their jaw, their face, or even their voice. Importantly, it tends to be fine when you're sitting completely at rest. It's only when you try and move. But of course, we spend most of our time in motion. So anything from doing up your buttons, to getting yourself dressed, to eating, to carrying a cup of tea to your lips, to putting your car key in, to driving, obviously, requires you to move. And that means it can have a huge impact on your life. So a new survey from the National Tremor Foundation, with sponsorship from Insightech, with whom I'm working, has shown that the number of people affected and the degree to which it affects them is extraordinary. More than 1 in 2 of them rarely, if ever, go out to exercise. Nearly 3 in 5 of them said it had a negative impact on their mental health. I have to say, I think if I'd got it severely, I'm surprised it's only 3 in 5, because it must really be very debilitating. 1 in 3 need support with everyday activities like brushing their teeth or eating. And yet 11 out of 12 of them never get to see a super specialist. They only ever go to see their GP or possibly a neurologist.
10 times more common than Parkinson's disease. That certainly surprised me. And clearly, as I say, those are the sort of issues that, in terms of raising awareness, I can understand people sort of thinking, oh, I've got the delirium tremens, which is something completely different. And people don't want folk to, nobody does. It's a human aspect. We don't like people to effectively be isolating us or identifying us as being unusual and, fitting into
norm. Or worse, drunk or on drugs. Interestingly, Sir Julian Fellowes, who, of course, of Downton fame, who is, I think, a trustee of the National Tremor Foundation, has been very vocal in their support, pointed out that he actually ended up going public because people were either assuming that he had Parkinson's or, in some cases, thinking he was drunk when he went out to places. So I think, if you tremble so much, we tend to see people, as you say, delirium tremens is something you get if you're coming off out going through alcohol withdrawal. So, I think a lot of people are very, very, very self-conscious, which probably accounts for the fact that so many people rarely, if ever, go out to socialise. Some people it's fairly mild and it doesn't have that much impact, but it can have a huge impact on your life.
The National Tremor Foundation is obviously doing some excellent work in terms of raising the awareness. Where else would you suggest, Sarah, people should actually go to find out further information about this, or indeed just ways of actually coping with the condition?
Well, tremor.org.uk, which is the National Tremor Foundation website, has a host of information on it. They've got local groups, they've got national groups, they've got support lines, but really importantly, you can meet up virtually, unfortunately, at the moment, but even so, hopefully in person at some point in the not too distant future, with local support groups. So, I'm looking at the website right now. We've got the Welsh and West Country Tremor Community, who are doing a virtual meeting tomorrow at 11:30. There's always something on there. And I think it's so important for people who have essential tremor to find people who understand what they are going through, and indeed who can talk to them about the options, because this is not a curable condition. But there are treatments available. Now, for some people who have mild symptoms, you don't necessarily need treatment, or maybe you could just have treatment which you take when you're going to be in a situation where your tremor might be worse. So, for instance, if you're going to be in a situation where you might get anxious. For some people, beta blocker drug called propranolol, which used to be used a lot for high blood pressure, but which is now used for abnormal heart rhythms or possibly for panic attacks, could be used. Or there are epilepsy drugs like primidone or gabapentin. But all these drugs have side effects for some people, causing dizziness, tiredness, feeling sick. And up to 50% of people don't tolerate the medicines, or the medicines don't control their symptoms. Now, in recent years, we have had a new treatment option available, which is really exciting. And that treatment option is called deep brain stimulation. Deep brain stimulation involves brain surgery. It involves drilling a couple of small holes into the skull and implanting some electrodes deep inside the brain on both the left and the right hand side. And they're connected by long wires that travel under the skin and down the neck to a battery powered stimulator under the skin of the chest. And that can be turned on and sends small electrical impulses to block those faulty nerve signals that cause the tremor. And for many people, this has been a real game changer. But there are people who aren't suitable for surgery. This is a major procedure. It does involve a general anaesthetic. And for them, there may be a new option coming along on the NHS. It's called MR, guided FUS, focused ultrasound, and MRI, of course, we all know about the scan, I think, these days. And what that does is use very, very specific, very carefully focused ultrasounds to target one area deep inside the brain, which we know causes this tremor. They can be accurate to within 1 millimeter. And once you've worked out that you are in the right spot, which you can do easily by turning the machine, turning the ultrasounds on to a small extent, but not putting them up to full power, you can work out that you're in the right place. Then you can turn the ultrasounds on, and just where they meet, just in that very specific focal point, then it causes intense, very local heat, which destroys the tissue responsible for the tremor. But because it's so specific, it's, you know, there's very little heat in front or behind, so only the targeted tissue is affected. And that's an option where the patient's awake the whole time. It's completely non-invasive, it's scalpel free, it's hole free, and at the moment it's not routinely available on the NHS, but the NHS has produced the draft commissioning policy, and the intent of that, they say, would be to make it available to about 150 patients a year who aren't eligible for deep brain stimulation. So this is going in front of the clinical priorities advisory group at the end of this month to decide whether it should be prioritized for funding.
Sarah, as ever, we knew you provide above and beyond the call of duty and information in all sorts of wonderful ways. Again, that research by National Tremor Foundation, sponsored by Insightech Limited, well worth acknowledging and following through. I think we've managed to, in our own way, begin to raise that whole notion of essential tremor. It's been our first ever Zoomer. Normally, I've been in a studio, you've been in a studio, we've been sorting out various other bits and pieces. So I need to rephrase the usual two final questions. Dr. Sarah Jarvis, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the program?
I've had a fascinating Zoomer with you today. It's been an absolute pleasure and really important. Do go on to that tremor.org.uk if a member of your family or indeed you is affected.
Excellent. And the final question, of course, before I head off to actually speak to one of my postgraduate students via Zoom, is, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future? Will you return?
As soon as you ask me.
Well, Dr. Sarah Jarvis, as ever, doing some wonderful, insightful input into ET, essential tremor. And we're now delighted to welcome from the National Tremor Foundation itself, the wonderful Jackie Farrell. How are you, Jackie?
I'm very well. Thank you, Alex, for inviting me onto the programme.
Well, it's very good to connect with your good self. And I think even with the magic of computing being as it is, although we'd anticipated you both being on at the same time, I think it's actually quite useful to have you share thoughts with respect to this fascinating and extraordinary condition, essential tremor, which, as we said at the start with Sarah, is something which people aren't aware of, and indeed does impact the overall life of a considerable number of people in Britain.
Yes, I'm not sure, with, you know, being over 1 million people in UK with this disorder, it's really little known about, and you know, that could be because of having essential tremor, which I have the disorder myself. You know, a lot of people hide their tremors or don't talk out about it, and so therefore, you know, it's not getting the word out.
Sure. Now, in terms of how it impacts on your quality of life and general daily living, I mean, there are folk who'll be listening to this, Jackie, who'll say, well, you know, we've just had 4 or 5 months and probably conceivably more of a lockdown environment and social distancing and all the other factors. But in terms of essential tremor, this is something where presumably, again, you kind of have a number of challenges. I mean, share with us, Jackie, the kind of things that have impacted on yourself as a result of ET.
Right. Well, just to let you know, Alex, that I've lived with this disorder over 46 years since I was in my 20s. So it's my hands, head and legs. So just to give you an idea of some of the things that impacts our lives, take everyday daily tasks like eating, drinking, writing, cooking, going to the shops, trying to pay at checkouts, etc. You know, being in public, if people are embarrassed going out, or they may be at the checkouts trying to pay, their hands shaking as they get the money. I know from my own experience. The list, actually, Alex, could go on with how it impacts our daily life, and quite debilitating in some ways.
And clearly this survey, which has been produced, as Sarah said, I think we were both surprised that only 57% say it's had a negative impact on mental health, because actually from that point of view, you'd almost anticipate it clearly does impact, because there is that sense of feeling different, feeling being judged for something which is clearly not connected with the issue, whether it be alcohol misuse, whether it be drug misuse and so on, which of course has got nothing to do with essential tremor.
That's a very valid point, because having the tremors myself, I know from experience going out, if people see my hand shaking, they may think I have Parkinson's, or I've been, you know, had a bit too much to drink or on drugs. And that's no disrespect to the people thinking that. It's purely because there's just not enough awareness of this disorder out there. And, you know, National Tremor Foundation, where I'm support group coordinator for, we're trying to raise awareness to, you know, to bring the disorder to the public's attention.
Sure. With over a fifth of British folk also saying the thing that they find most irritating is someone taking time to find their cash in their wallet or purse, that clearly becomes much more challenging. And it's just a simple thing like that. I mean, I suppose you could say, oh, well, we're supposed to be heading to a cashless society now. It should all be with a card. But even on that basis, you know, there needs to be time. And maybe that's actually one of the positive things that has come out of the last few months of the pandemic, that actually we are acknowledging the fact that time and being patient are not just virtues, but actually essential if we're to actually get along, you know, as one well-formed society.
Yes, just going back to, you mentioned about the card, that's another thing that's difficult for us with the shaky hands. You try to put in your PIN number or things like that, and sometimes our hands double tap a letter or a number, and then we have to go back and start it all again, which of course takes time and holds the queue up.
Sure.
But going on to lockdown, just out of interest, at National Tremor Foundation, because support groups are not, the actual support groups are not taking place at the moment, during lockdown, we have been arranging weekly online support groups, which has reached out to so many people that there may not have even been a support group in their area. And they're just so thankful that they can come along and meet others, share their experiences, and know they're not alone. And this is very common, that some people feel isolated, they're on their own, there's no support out there. So actually lockdown has been, you know, quite good from that point of view for us. And, you know, anxiety as well can trigger, or when I say trigger the tremors, make them worse for that particular time. And stress as well. So I would imagine if any of your listeners out there have essential tremor, they may be able to relate to, you know, what I'm saying.
Well, Jackie, I think it's been wonderful being able to connect with yourself. I think together with Dr. Sarah Jarvis in the earlier part of this piece, I think we managed to begin to raise that profile. National Tremor Foundation, again, a go-to place online, presumably, if you wish to find out further information and details about this. Jackie, many thanks indeed. Were there any other sort of suggestions you'd like to put forward in terms of people listening to this and they'd just like to find out more about that essential tremor?
Yes, the address for Tremor Foundation, which is tremor.org.uk, people can find out lots of information about that. And also, Alex, just one thing I'd like to add. The National Tremor Foundation actually have at this moment a campaign to try and raise awareness. It's a virtual journey of 1,000 miles. So just thought I'd mention that as well.
Fantastic. Jackie, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with the good self. I'm sure we'll speak again. For the moment, though, be well, be healthy, and stay safe.
Thank you so much, Alex. Have a good weekend.
Belly may call you any night, any day. In your heart, you'll hear it call you. Come away, come away. Belly high will whisper
things about these midweek drive Zoomers has been the way in which we've been putting ingredients together to produce good quality material in every sense of the word. And both the next midweek drive ads, or next pair of midweek drive ads, have kind of done individual Zoomers. First time they've actually been in a group call. So it's important to actually welcome, in order of their graduation from the University of Lincoln, the fabulous American Studies graduate, who is Katie Grimerson. How are you, Katie?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. And indeed, I gather your piano teacher was very impressed with the fact that of all of the people that you have actually, she's been teaching via Zoom how to play the piano, you are the one person who's actually kept up your piano playing skills across that base. So well done, Katie.
Thank you.
What was it like actually being with a real life piano teacher in the room after lockdown? Did you not want to say, get behind that shield now?
It was a bit weird actually, because I've been used to just doing it via Zoom, and I was actually quite nervous because like she's actually there watching me, but it's just the whole like the distancing what I've got to get used to now. So she's on one side of the room and we have a Perspex screen in the middle. Oh, she's brought her keyboard in and then I'm on the piano.
Yeah. It's happening. And then, of course, you also learnt sign language as well. So what, on this radio-based Zoom call, what can you actually sign for us?
Oh, no. You're putting me on the spot. No,
I know,
Alex,
but I know you can cope. I know you can cope. What's the... you can do anything, because I know zero sign language. So, I mean, it's entirely up to your good self. You could actually do all sorts of things, really. What's the sign language for hello?
See, I need to go back to it and look at it again.
Okay,
and refresh
we'll leave that to you. Second up, of course, because she graduated most recently from the University of Lincoln, in film and television studies, actually. So that's all very exciting. It's Eloise Sheehan. How are you, Eloise?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you, Alex.
Now, unlike Katie, of course, you're still in Lincoln with your cat and indeed partner, and indeed, you know, the cat, you took a photograph of your cat and sent me a photograph of this cat literally seconds before we actually went live. And then first thing she does, Katie, is Eloise chucks the cat out. She says,
just
go away, go away, Jack. I've got no more time for you. I'm a big media star now. You were in it last time. Off you go. I'm chucking you out.
What cat
is
it?
Biting me.
Katie, what was your question?
What breed of cat is it? Because I love exotic short hair cats, you know, the ones with the flat faces.
He's not that exotic, he's just a little mix, he's a little tuxedo cat. So.
Aww.
But he's cute.
I mean, you know, I can hear him now almost in the background in Eloise's house going, No, he's not. Eloise, of course, is one of the souls who's been charged with the responsibility of running a joint package with Robin Pierce, because there are so many Midweek Drive packages that we're putting out these days that we felt we had to have two critics to actually review the whole system, etc. It's worth pointing out, Eloise, that Katie normally restricts her reviews to those which feature William Sitwell or indeed any Oasis tracks. You know, those are kind of key focus. Occasionally goes down Aston Villa and Edgbaston, but generally it's, you know.
Stone Roses now as well.
Of course. And let us not forget, of course, one of the key bands you're responsible for setting up with us back in the day. Something with Biscuits, I believe.
Broken with Rebels.
Broken with Rebels. I knew there was a Biscuit sort of thing in there. I thought it was Broken Biscuits. It was Rebels. I don't know. We're working on it.
Rebels are not Biscuits, Alex.
It's the virus, Eloise. What have you been listening to this week, Eloise, when you've not been busily working as you do in a fine part of Lincoln, which is not a bookstore at all, but it is indeed a... it isn't a bookstore, or is it a bookstore?
No, it's not. I don't know why you keep thinking this. I'd love to work at a bookstore, though.
I'm sure you once worked in a bookstore. Did you not work in a bookstore?
No, never.
Anyway, where are you working? Where are you working now? What's the shameless plug?
I work at the Lincoln Jazz Cafe, serving lush cocktails. So.
And given that the headlines from this very day are effectively public still reluctant to wear masks, what's the situation been with your own retail experience?
You don't actually have to wear masks in pubs because it's going to put people off drinking. So they have not done anything with that. So we don't have to wear them. The customers don't have to wear them, so you just got to stay away from each other, which is quite...
See, I'd be quite concerned about that. I mean, Katie, would you say that surely in pubs you should wear masks as well? I mean, surely we've got people sneezing into booze and all sorts of things.
I don't know, actually, because I've been to two pubs since they reopened, and I found the experience all right because you are like distanced from other people. But I just think this face mask thing, it should have been bought in sooner.
That's perfectly okay. No, I was just actually sort of attempting to actually do press a couple of buttons here. Don't worry. I realise you might have actually thought, what the heck's he doing now? It's a button. I'm a male. I can't resist pressing the whole thing on that sort of basis. Eloise, I know in a few weeks' time you'll be joining Robin and Poppy and a couple of other fine folk. Jessica, of course, Jessica Burtis. And indeed, our skating expert, Jenny Bill, on a Resonance Rewind. But meanwhile, what have you been listening to as far as the Midweek Drive has been concerned over the last few days?
Number one, Am I? That's the first I've heard of this. So that's awesome.
When you're going over to see Robin. Robin,
yeah, but he didn't. I thought he was just joking when he said,
oh,
you
were no. Like, yeah. Robin Pierce, who I think Katie might know, but then again, maybe not. I don't know. It's very confusing. I don't know when she knows.
Recognize the name, but yeah. I don't know if I've met them.
Yeah. At Midweek Drive, we don't actually meet. Eloise actually crossed the border and went over to Wales to stay with the Pierce family just before lockdown. And then she came back and obviously we had this whole coronavirus. She's now going back again just to prove that she can set off a second pandemic just by crossing the border from England to Wales. When she's heading back to Robin Pierce land and Robin's Towers, in early August, hope you're paying attention at home, you are then basically going to be invited to sit in on one of these Zoom packages in a program called Resonance Rewind, which is a newly launched program, which is now actually up to its fourth episode. We're looking at Land of the Giants very shortly, which is very exciting. I could look ahead to tell you what your thing will actually be, but I won't. So I'll save that for a little surprise. Anyway, what have you been listening to as far as the Midweek Drive has been concerned?
Okay, well, you told me to listen to the Zoom specials, which is quite hard because you've not written which is which on there, so a lot of clicking and confusion. But I listened to your interview with David J. Howe. It's nice to have David back for the little Stone Tapes episode.
Yes, a sort of mini Stone Tapes.
Yeah, it wasn't. I went to see Sam and David as well, which is really nice. I listened to Lee Willett and Julian Tremblin, which I thought was really interesting, about their 100% recyclable packaging to their company by 2022. Mm. That was amazing, and it's surprising that not more people are looking into that.
All about the cheese.
Yeah. We thought we'd have been 100% recyclable by now, the amount of things that we've managed to do. Matthew McGregor, he was extremely interesting with these 22 apps. Dr. Zoe Randall with the Big Butterfly Count, which sounded incredible. And
let's invite Katie. Are you a butterfly person? Are you intending to actually count any butterflies in Erdington, Birmingham over the next few days?
I've actually, I took a beautiful picture of a butterfly the other day in my nan's garden. She lives on Castle Vale, and she's got a lovely garden, and I think it's a buddleia plant in there, and they all like flock to them, the butterflies do, but they're really nice.
So there we are. You could also go online and actually participate in the BBC, no, it's nothing to do with that broadcasting corporation, the Big Butterfly Count that was actually launched a week ago, pretty much via the Midweek Drive. Very exciting. And do you recycle your cheese? At least not the cheese itself. Do you actually recycle your cheese film bits? Because you can now. You can set up an Erdington recycling cheese area.
No, I don't recycle cheese.
Well, we'll have to look at that. Okay, back to you, Eloise. I'm just getting you a little flavour there. Anything else that you've worked through?
That was basically it that stood out for me. Not saying that everyone else didn't stand out, but they stuck in my brain.
Okay. So who then officially gets the ESMVC of the Zoomcasts you've listened to? That's the Eloise Sheehan Most Valuable Contributor.
I'm going to give it to Dr. Zoe Randall because her passion talking about her project was incredible. So I thought it was wonderful.
Well, well done, Zoe. Obviously doing some wonderful stuff there with respect to butterflies, and Chris Packham would doubtless be very pleased with you. Katie, up next, I'm going to actually give you a little paragraph that I'm going to read, and your task is to identify what it's referring to. Are you all set for this, Katie?
Okay, then.
Maybe it never really existed, except in the minds and hearts of those brave emigrants who fought every step across the unknown savage continent to build this haven on the coast of that sea named by the Spanish conquistadors the Pacific Ocean. But belief in the existence of such a paradise will live forever in the hopes and dreams of men. What am I referring to? No.
Is it this country?
It is not this country, because actually we have the Atlantic Ocean, not the Pacific Ocean. The clue is very much in the notion of the Golden West, a paradise called. Would you like another clue?
Yes.
I mean, Eloise, feel free to jump in on this particular one, because it is a very well-known...
I'm too afraid of getting it wrong, so...
It's a classic piece of televisual history. A classic piece of televisual history. There we have it, absolutely.
Oh, Bonanza and High Chaparral.
Exactly. Because let's face it, the closest you can get to the Wild West these days is Erdington in Birmingham. Only kidding. But it is a whole new world. So, I mean, I suspect that given that Bonanza was originally a 1960s TV series, it falls within Eloise's brief of never actually watching any TV or film after 1970, except in exceptional circumstances. But did you, Eloise, ever actually encounter Lorne Green, Michael Landon, and Dan Blocker as Ben Cartwright, Little Joe, and Hoss Cartwright in Bonanza?
I would say no, that to what I remember, but my grandfather was obsessed with anything Western, and the TV was just constantly Western TV shows and films from the 60s. So I probably have sat through and watched most of it without realising.
You see, had you only signed up for American Studies, clearly in the second year, you would have had the joy of having Bonanza shown to you. Isn't that right, Katie?
Yeah, and I love the theme tune. Dun 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 dun.
Dum da lum da lum da lum da lum da lum dum da 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 da. And so it goes. You see, Eloise.
You never showed us High Chaparral, though. My mum's been watching that throughout lockdown and stuff, so she loves it.
I always felt that High Chaparral in Britain, it was screened on BBC, which was the posh channel. Bonanza was an ITV sort of standard down with the kids channel. So it was more Bonanza than High Chaparral. High Chaparral was a little bit more kind of, it's a bit like the Virginian, and certainly not like the Wild Wild West, which of course is a classic sort of line from a similar time. So I won't say favourite Bonanza episode, because you have basically over 14 years worth of it to choose from. But who's your favourite Bonanza character, Katie, in terms of that? I mean, just the description that we actually have here of the Bonanza estate. The estate, this is the Ponderosa, of course, boasts a large, well-furnished ranch house where Ben Cartwright lives with his two sons and Hop Singh, his faithful Chinese cook and housekeeper. Ben is the lawmaker, and his word goes... Hoss and Little Joe, his sons, are his agents, and there could not be a greater contrast between the two.
I'd have to say Little Joe, because he's quite handsome, isn't he?
Michael Landon. He's dead, of course, and he's probably actually a completely decomposing skeleton now. But in
what way to ruin that, Alex?
I mean, you can see Michael Landon there, just in the corner there with his father. That's Michael Landon, who of course went on to star in Little House on the Prairie and indeed Highway to Heaven. Ironic, really, given that he's probably in heaven at this very particular moment in time. But there we are. If you ever want to access some joys on the delightful Amazon Prime, check out Highway to Heaven. I would say it's well worth going through. So Little Joe was the favourite. Second favourite, Katie?
Ben, is it Ben the dad?
Yeah, Ben Cartwright. So you did not go for Dan Blocker, even though, so you actually autograph this. So Dan Blocker as Hoss Cartwright, Definitely a name that even his dad apparently said he doesn't quite know, he couldn't quite remember his real name. Hoss Cartwright is, as his nickname implies, burly and stout, a hearty eater and a hearty fist fighter. He's been known by the name Hoss for so many years that even his father seems to have forgotten his proper name. I mean, Hoss Cartwright, one of the two classics, and yet you've gone for Little Joe and then Ben Cartwright. And of course, people could argue, what about Adam Cartwright? Was he just written out of history just because the actor actually decided to move on after a few years? You know, why? Why was that the case? I don't know. So what else have you been getting up to, Katie? And what would you like to ask Eloise as a relatively recent graduate, one whole English year ago, from the University of Lincoln's Film and Television Studies programme?
What part of Lincoln is your favourite?
Nice one. Good.
That's a really tough question.
From London, so you know, who knows what she could actually say at this particular moment.
I like West Common because of all the horses. I think that's just lovely, the way they're all roaming around. That's probably my favourite part of Lincoln.
And the horses have been known to hum. Bum, bada, bum, bada, bum, bada,
bum, bada, bum. Oh, when I was in Lincoln, I didn't really venture out of the city centre in Brayford Quay, because I lived on Brayford Quay. But I wish I went out a bit more now to these areas.
No, you don't. No, you don't, Katie. No, seriously. Honestly.
Well, you're not missing much.
No, please, you know, it's important. I mean, you just step away from that whole thing. I mean, I appreciate, you know, you ended up sort of working with Warwick University and you might sort of step away from that, but, you know, it's all good. And so it goes. So do we feel positive and confident that this coronavirus is arguably probably one of the best things which has happened to the human race, because you don't have to worry about getting to the studio. We can do these 5:30 links, etc. Who needs the physical contact of another human being at all?
I miss the studio.
Well, somebody who's also missing the studio, and I felt, no, we're not going to invite her on the show because she'd probably actually just get out her key and get into a wrong door entirely. It's Eva MacDonald's birthday today.
She's 24 today, right?
Well, there we are, exactly. Same age, curiously, that Joan Plyright was when she married the 59-year-old Sir Laurence Olivier. So there we are, you know, Laurence Olivier also dead, but a little bit of a factoid there I thought I'd throw out so you can also work through that process. But Laurence Olivier and Joan Plyright not with us. Oh, indeed, it's Vivian Leigh, his second wife, but there we are. You seem confused, Eloise. You know, I mean, from Gone with the Wind, a band movie these days. Step away from that. It's all about racism. So let's not go there. So can we all actually say, and I know this could be a little bit, well, actually, maybe we should do it in turns, actually, because if we all said happy birthday, Eva, at the same time, it would probably sound very messy on Skype. It's like that netiquette that we actually...
It's not going to work.
It isn't. It is
probably sound like a dog.
It would indeed, it would, which would be great if she was a Dalek fan. But we know that Eva effectively only likes the David Tennant era. And even then, if we quizzed her about it, she probably wouldn't appreciate what was happening. But there we are. But she's an entertainer. That's the important thing. She is an entertainer. I think Eloise is finding it just far too amusing in the background there. She's gone to seek help with her cat. Let him in. Meow. So... Because you've met Eva, haven't you, Katie?
No, I don't think I have.
I thought she'd actually joined us literally just at your period. She worked extensively with Sarah Bullimore, and you know Sarah, because you worked with Sarah. Yes. Would you like to wish, from Birmingham, happy birthday to Eva MacDonald? Over to you, Katie.
Happy birthday, Eva. I hope you've had a lovely day.
Nice touch. I like that. You know, that was unscripted as well. It's very good. Eloise, we of course have shared many a time in the studio with Eva, and indeed have shared at least one half of a journey to Norfolk with Eva. She made her own way back, Katie. Don't ask, it was a long story at the time, but you know, it was just one of those things.
No, we
things.
Just left her there instead.
She wasn't quite sure about her... her key to the bedroom door. That was the key thing. You know, which key does she actually use? It's very impressive. But we appreciate it in any case. So Eloise, over to you, please. Let's send some birthday good wishes out here. Whether she listens to it or not, at least it's there in the spirit.
Happy birthday, Eva. Hope you have a wonderful day.
or indeed had a wonderful day, assuming this
is not
past.
Over.
Yeah, but might as well be. I mean, it's nearly 6 o'clock in our particular time here. You know, it's all over now, basically. What was that, Katie?
The night is young.
Oh, right. Every so often, it's the Birmingham accent that just completely confuses me, but never mind. If you'd use sign language, we'd be perfectly understandable on that. Speaking of which, let's go back to where we came in. Have you actually got any sort of sign language that you would actually like to share, which is obviously broadcastable, because there are certain sign languages that we wouldn't obviously put out on air. It is radio, after all, with Eloise and myself?
I can share it next time when I have a look at it.
She's, as ever, Katie Grimerson, KTG. She's got, as Phil Leonis once said, Katie Grimerson, Birmingham's gift to the galaxy.
I can show you the most important piece of sign language you'll ever need, that I seem to need, is that's cake, and that's all I've ever seemed to need. So.
Well, that's worth knowing, because I love cake.
She does, Eloise. Katie Grimerson can go through so many press lunches, it's unbelievable. It's like a living Hoover, but we appreciate her all the more. Katie Grimerson, have you had a reasonably interesting, albeit unexpected, because let's face it, you didn't actually know you were going to be booked for this Zoomer until literally about 5 o'clock this morning, or 6 o'clock, or thereabouts. I thought, oh, she's obviously up for it early. Has it been okay for you?
Yes, I've really enjoyed it.
Marvellous. Eloise, we didn't forget you. We just decided not to call you last week. allowing for that and your excellent sort of delivery in terms of how you put the cat out, Eloise, and actually reviewed the whole thing. Has it been an okay Zoomer for yourself?
Yes, thank you, Alex.
Marvellous. Sadly, I can't play any David Cassidy at the moment for your mum, but I'll try and squeeze it in terms of post-production. It'll be an excellent sort of thing. I might do that. So therefore, Eloise, are you willing to come back with us again? I mean, what would you prefer? Friday is probably slightly easier.
Asked me this last week if I would be on Tuesday. I said, yeah, then you never mind. What's the point in me asking?
Well, let's hypothetically then, in a world in which actually I can remember various other bits and pieces, are you up for next Friday? Which should probably be actually the last Friday in July 2020.
Yes, I'm going to see my mum on Sunday for the week, but I should be free.
Okay. You could always put your mum on the Zoomer as well. I mean, you know, Katie's mum regularly used to listen to the shows, and never once did she complain about a tattoo situation. But there we are. That's by the by.
I'll have to get real on the next one.
I mean, it would be a whole new world for Sharon, I'm sure. You know, that's the important thing on that sort of basis. But that's a whole new issue for that point. So, Katie, are you willing to be back with us next week?
Yes.
She says, definitely. Excellent stuff. Katie Grimerson and Eloise Sheehan, many thanks. Keep on keeping on. Keep smiling and enjoy the rest of the day.